Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Jersey Troll by Rami Vance and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Jen Lee. Chapter 1.
It's the final countdown.
Knopf sing-song yipped while the digital readout flashed descending red numbers in the darkness. 59. 58. 57.
You ready?
Knopf yipped tensely. He couldn't keep his tail from wagging. Maine snapped her focus back to the task at hand, the giant digital clock counting down from 40. It was dark, the room large and shaped like an oval. The red countdown, suspended from the ceiling in front of them, directed everyone's attention to the dimmed stage below it.
What's up? Something on your mind?
Maine sighed. I miss rainwater. Knopf, sitting on his plush auditorium seat, twisted his chihuahua-sized head away from the countdown and toward Maine. He yipped.
I can't believe you just said that.
Maine brushed some bangs out of her eyes. I know.
Really? You think this is the right time to be waxing philosophical?
I know.
We came here to do a job, and now we gotta do it. Snap out of it.
The countdown was at 20 seconds now. It's just, I don't feel I belong here right now.
Woman, I know there's a lot on your mind. Assassins, that fight you had with Makime, that angel you owe a favor to.
I forgot about that angel. Thanks for reminding me. Someone shushed her loudly from the side. She felt like shushing them back, but Knopf yipped in her ear.
Focus. It's almost showtime.
The countdown hit 11 seconds. The crowd started chanting in one voice. 10, 9, 8, 7. In front of them, below the countdown display, lights flared to life, dousing a kitchen set in white-hot light. 7 contestants wearing neat clothes and aprons stepped into the light. Maine immediately picked out Sage among the other 6 strangers. Maybe it was just her, but he looked a little nervous. Regardless, he was still the best chef she'd ever known, and he would rock this competition. 3, 2, 1. The countdown display now read, "Applause." The crowd gathered in the auditorium seats erupted, cheering and clapping and catcalling. Beside Maine, Knopf was going crazy, yipping louder than she'd ever heard and clapping his front paws together. His energy was infectious and urged Maine to step up her game. She cupped her hands over her mouth and shouted, "Go, Sage!" There was little chance that Sage, standing up on stage, could have heard her over the crowd, but he glanced out into the audience and smiled in her direction. It made her stomach flutter for a second. Then she was herself again. The display above the kitchen changed from applause to quiet. Everyone got the message except Knopf. He was still clapping madly like some capuchin monkey hyped up on speed. When Maine saw the key marking on his rump start to glow, she scooped him up and held him to her chest.
You can't use magic here, Maine hissed. What? No, I wasn't.
You were about to blast off. Now self-conscious. Knopf stopped his tail and back end from wagging. His tiny heartbeat slowed to normal. We're in the human world, Maine reminded him in a whisper. Even though all these people can't see behind the veil, we don't need to act suspicious. The veil was the invisible barrier that separated humans from being able to see magic and other supernatural stuff. Humans couldn't lift the veil, but Maine was half-troll. She could lift the veil with a thought. While she almost always kept it up, she occasionally dropped it, like when she didn't want to hear Knopf talking. She set Knopf on his seat and turned her attention to the kitchen set on the stage. It was a very professional-looking setup, with polished countertops and industrial-grade appliances. Each of the contestants had their own workstation, and she wondered which one Sage would get. A host stepped forth from the back of the kitchen set, and the contestants turned to face him. He was a genial man with a neat goatee and short, gelled hair. Wearing khakis and a button-down shirt with a pink bow tie, he looked the part of a typical cooking show host. "Ladies and gentlemen," he began, addressing the contestants, "welcome to the Sarah Glass Show." There was a pause and another cue for applause. "Congratulations on making it to the final week of the competition. Don't think it will be easy. There's a reason some call this Murder Week." He chuckled conspiratorially. Above the stage, the display read, "Gasp." The crowd gasped in unison. Then the host resumed his speech. "Not that anyone will die. Dear me, of course not. But our head chef is, well, you know, she's Sarah Glass." Sage visibly stiffened, but the rest of the contestants nodded as if they couldn't wait. "If you can impress Chef Sarah and survive the elimination rounds, you just might win." The display read applause, and the crowd clapped and cheered. While the host rattled off some more rules, Maine's thoughts drifted back to Rainwater. How was everyone back home? Home? She inwardly laughed. It wasn't long ago that she'd never wanted to return home. For much of her life, it had been a place of bad memories. Her mother's death, her father, who she'd greatly misunderstood. In short, a messed up childhood. Now, she was a part of the sleepy little town inhabited by a population of predominantly magical beings. She was the town's protector, now that she'd inherited her father's mantle and his job. Also, while her and Knopf's bodyguard and detective agency was still in its infancy, she had a feeling that job opportunities would be aplenty following their high-profile case at the recent Magical Beings Conference in Rainwater. It wasn't every day one got to bodyguard death and thwart a plot against his life. Death. Back home, the cases were probably piling up. And here she was, sitting in an auditorium over 3,000 miles away. Even though she deserved this vacation to L.A., and she wanted to support Sage, part of her was itching to work a case. Knopf yipped.
"There she is!"
Maine snapped back to reality as a stern-faced female chef pushed through a swinging door at the back and strode into the room in black heels, black dress pants, and a black shirt. She wore a pristine white apron over her front and had a severe, angular face. Behind her head, her blonde hair was in a tight bun. Everything about the woman screamed aggressive. Still, there was some part of Maine that desired to be her. The woman tromping up to the contestants had a focused power about her that Maine envied. Chef Sarah Glass. Maine wasn't the only one focusing on her. The evil mantle she was wearing hissed.
"Weakness. Ego the size of Dodger Stadium. Craves power. Suggestion. Take away her power and call her Sarah Ass."
"Nice to know," Maine said under her breath. It was a good thing that only she could hear the mantle's words. She was the only one who could see the mantle, too, unless she commanded it to reveal itself to another magical being. Humans, well, they couldn't see beyond the veil, so they saw right through the evil overcoat. While Maine enjoyed watching a cooking show now and then, she didn't know much about Sarah Glass. How bad could she be?
"The devil incarnate," the mantle hissed. "Figuratively speaking, of course. The real devil is much nicer."
Glancing to her side, she noted the jittery way Knopf gripped his seat in anticipation. Back on the stage, the newly arrived chef Sarah Glass came to an abrupt halt and surveyed the contestants. For the slightest of moments, a smile curved her mouth. Then all trace of it disappeared. She laughed. While it was a bit sharp, it didn't necessarily sound evil. Then, with near supernatural speed, The chef clutched her apron with fingers like talons. In the next moment, she tore it from her chest and compressed it into a wad.
"This is what I get?" she roared. "These are the pieces of shit I get sent to judge? You conceited pricks think you're worthy to stand in my presence? To cook in my kitchen?"
She seethed. Turning, she located the nearest oven. She ripped the door open, shoved her apron inside, and slammed it shut.
"You think this is going to be easy?"
She smiled again. This time, there was no trace of mirth to it. She turned on the oven.
"I'm going to test you. Throw you into the fire, as they say. Some of you I'm going to send crying back to your mommies. The rest?"
She paused for dramatic effect.
"I might eat you alive."
The display above the stage flashed, "Gasp!" Maine's muscles tightened. Mantle? Is she some kind of flesh-eating monster or something?
"No, she is 100% human."
"Damn," Maine muttered. She wasn't going to need a case to keep busy, not when she had this kind of entertainment to watch. Turning, she asked Knopf, "Is she as bad as she sounds?" Knopf's tail wagged as he nodded.
"Worse."
For the first time, Maine started to doubt Sage's chances of winning the competition. Chapter 2.
"Put your goddamn back into it,"
Chef Sarah Glass screamed at a young male contestant, timidly stirring a pot of gumbo. She shook her head. With her hands clasped behind her back, she tromped over to the next contestant, her high heel spikes punctuating the air like gunshots.
"And you, watch it with the bay leaf. You trying to poison someone?"
Seated in the audience, Knopf panted.
"She's so intense."
Maine swallowed. "I know." Her main focus was on Sage, alternating between busily chopping onions, celery, and green peppers, the holy trinity of gumbo, and stirring his pot. Gumbo wasn't on the sacred sourdough's menu back home, so hopefully Sage knew what he was doing during this cooking challenge. The key to making gumbo, the host had filled in the audience, was not to burn the roux, the soup's thickened flour and butter base. Maine had never had gumbo. It looked like too much work to make. If you stopped stirring and the roux burned, you essentially had to start all over from the beginning because you'd already ruined it. On the kitchen set, Chef Sarah marched up to the next contestant, a middle-aged woman. She leaned over the contestant's pot while wafting the steam toward her nose. Then her nostrils flared, and her eyes widened.
"It's burned. Start over."
The contestant shriveled and began the frantic rush to prepare a new roux. Without missing a beat, Chef Sarah marched up to the next contestant, a young woman with short green hair and a nose piercing.
"More salt. I want to be able to taste it."
"Yes, ma'am,"
the contestant said, and promptly poured more salt into her pot. The top came off the container and salt rushed into the soup like a mini waterfall.
"For fuck's sake, that's too much."
Lifting both her hands in annoyance like a clawed demon in agony, Chef Sarah gritted her teeth, then tromped over to the next contestant. It would be only a matter of time before she reached Sage. Maine cringed at how the woman would verbally abuse him. Still, as rude and disgusting as the woman was to the contestants, a part of Maine enjoyed witnessing the over-the-top theatrics. It filled her with a sort of mad glee. Better yet, she wasn't watching this on a TV screen. She was viewing it in person. She could only imagine the pressure the contestants were facing. When Sarah made her way to Sage's workstation, Sage had picked up a container of cayenne powder. He kept his focus on the powder as he dumped it into the pot. Knopf yipped.
"Yikes, that's a lot of heat."
Maine put a hand to her forehead. She was far from an experienced cook, but she knew you sprinkled cayenne over food. You didn't dump it. Sage was done for. At any moment, Chef Sarah would ream him for adding too much spice. Instead, Chef Sarah gave a milk-curdling grin.
Yes, yes, I do like it hot.
Knopf bobbed his head.
True, she does like overly spicy food.
Sage set the cayenne to the side and beamed while he stirred the soup. Chef Sarah ran her tongue around her lips. Don't let the compliment go to your head, and try not to muck up the sweetness. Sage reached for a block of baker's chocolate.
Yes, ma'am. I think you're going to like it.
He spoke in a firm voice that contrasted his shaky appearance earlier, probably because he was in his element now. Chef Sarah curiously shook her head.
We shall see. We shall see.
She stood there for a moment, her eyes boring into Sage as he broke off pieces of chocolate and added them to the soup. At last, as if trying to think of a negative remark and failing to do so, she turned and tromped away to the next contestant.
That a boy?
Knopf cheered. Maine lowered her hand from her forehead and sighed. She hadn't realized how tense she had been. In his first interaction with Chef Sarah, Sage had held his own. In this fierce competition, a single big mess-up could spell elimination. Winning this competition was Sage's dream. Maybe there is a way she could help Sage out. She only had to figure out how. Time elapsed while the contestants busied themselves with their cooking. There was an audience break for hors d'oeuvres and refreshments after 2 hours, where Maine and Knopf got to stretch their legs. But then it was back to their seats. The time limit for the challenge was 4 hours, so after a while, things grew a bit stale as an audience member. The spicy aroma of rich gumbo drifting out from the kitchen was both a blessing and a curse. Sage was doing well as far as Maine could tell, but he was up against some steep competition. Even the two contestants who had to start over had made up time and were still in the running. These were all highly skilled individuals, and Chef Sarah was the biggest hard-ass Maine had ever seen. Also, Sage had done great to make it this far in the competition, but there were a lot of variables in any kitchen, as evidenced by the salt lid that had come off on one of the contestants. It wasn't all skill. Luck was a factor, too. When the cooking limit was almost up, Maine nudged Knopf.
Hey, do you think it's possible to use magic to help Sage in this competition?
Knopf's dog eyebrows raised.
You mean cheat?
What?
No, of course not. I don't mean to cheat. I just want to make sure the odds are in his favor. Knopf snickered.
I know Chef Sarah is tough, but this ain't the Hunger Games.
But there is food involved, Maine said.
You never watched that movie, did you? Never mind. I do have an idea, though.
He paused for dramatic effect.
A luck spell.
Maine leaned in close. Go on. Knopf yipped.
It's an easy spell, too. Even a troll like you should be able to pull it off.
Half troll, Maine corrected. If it's so easy, you think I could perform it here in L.A.? Knopf rolled his tiny shoulders. On the stage, Chef Sarah chewed out a contestant for nibbling on their fingernails.
Well?
Maine asked.
It's so easy, you could make it in the bathroom during intermission, which ought to be any minute now.
The time limit ended, and the host returned to instruct the competitors to carry their soup pots over to the judging table. Then the display over the stage flashed, intermission, and the host informed the audience that there were finger sandwiches, chips, and refreshments outside the studio. Maine hoped the contestants might be allowed to go into the audience to find their friends and family, but they were instead ushered away backstage. In their place, a beautiful singer in a flashy dress came out, to keep the audience warm and pumped up for when the show resumed, and Chef Sarah judged the contestants' soups.
"Ooh, halftime show,"
Knopf yipped. The young female singer carried a microphone and crooned a current hit pop song. The crowd went wild and started singing along. When Knopf began to chime in too, Maine snapped her fingers in front of his face. "Hello? Come on, tell me how to do the luck spell." With a shake of his tiny head, Knopf came back to attention.
"Sorry, that gal is good. A voice you could lose yourself in."
"Yeah, but luck spell?"
"Right. Well, all you need is a strand of hair, a porcelain container of water, and perfume."
"Does it matter whose or what kind of hair?"
"Nah."
"What about the perfume?"
"Nah. As long as it's got fragrance, it should be good."
"Are you sure? Those are pretty vague ingredients. What would a dire wolf know about casting a luck spell anyway?"
"A lot. Dire wolf mothers cast luck spells right before they give birth, to ensure the delivery of strong pups."
Maine winced. "How did that work out for you?" Knopf beamed.
"What's that supposed to mean? I came out all right. Now my sister, she was born human. Hey, her name was Sarah, too."
"Focus. How do I perform the luck spell?" As she said the words, she started to second-guess the notion.
"All you gotta do is submerge the strand of hair below the water, add the perfume, and focus on what aspect of reality you want to imbue with luck."
Knopf's words trailed off as his attention drifted back to the pop singer on the stage. Maine caught his attention again.
Right, he yipped. "Then all that's left is to chant, 'Luck be true, luck be mine,' 3 times. Through the focus of your will, luck should start obeying you."
This was starting to sound too good to be true. "For how long?" Maine asked.
At least a week."
"Perfect. Sage's competition lasts a week. It's like this luck spell was designed specifically for this situation." She cocked an eye at Knopf. "Is there anything you're not telling me?" Knopf's tongue was lolling out of his mouth now as he sat back on his rear, entranced by the singer on the stage. Maine snapped her fingers again.
"Huh? What?"
"Is there anything about this spell you're not telling me?" He shook his head.
"Not that I know of. It works for dire wolf mothers. Well, usually."
She didn't press him further. For a time, she sat in contemplation as the singer continued to perform. Did she want to cast a luck spell to help Sage? Maybe he'd be fine without it. All the same, she pulled out her smartphone and YouTubed some video clips of Chef Sarah Glass in action. In one, the chef's eyes bulged in their sockets after she tasted a mini creme brulee. She spat it out and hurled the ceramic ramekin at the wall, where it shattered into a goopy mess of sharded custard. In another clip, Sarah got frustrated after cutting into a much too well-done steak. She flung the knife at a mini-fridge where it embedded in its side. A third clip showed Sarah shoving a triple-tiered cake off the judging table onto the floor. "Sheesh," Maine muttered, replacing her phone in her purse. She had all the ingredients necessary for the luck spell. Plenty of hair strands on her head, running water in the public restroom she could use to fill up a porcelain sink, and her favorite perfume resting in her purse on her lap. Up on stage, the beautiful singer started a new song. Maine stood and turned to Knopf. "I guess you're not going to assist?" Knopf looked more than a bit silly with his tongue hanging out.
"What?"
he murmured, without taking his eyes from the stage. "Never mind. I'll be back shortly." Chapter 3. The first hitch came as soon as Maine entered the filming studio's public restroom. There were no porcelain sinks. Instead, they were metal. What was she going to do now? She was adjusting her purse strap over her shoulder when a toilet flushed from one of the stalls. Now that was an idea. But did she really want to cast a luck spell in a toilet? Where else was she going to find a porcelain container? That had been the only specific item in Knopf's luck spell. A few minutes later, when she was the only person in the bathroom, she stepped into a stall and closed the door behind her. She stared down at the toilet sitting before her. It was porcelain and had water in it. It was even clean. No brown stains inside. Still, wasn't there a saying about flushing luck down a toilet or something? The video clips of Chef Sarah's lavish displays of anger came to her mind, and she resolved to cast the luck spell, even if she had to do it in a toilet. She didn't know how long she'd have the bathroom to herself, so she yanked a hair from her head and dropped it into the toilet water. Using a wad of toilet paper, she dunked it under the surface. Just then, a couple of women entered the restroom. Maine stood still as they selected the stalls to either side of hers and went about their business. She was going to wait until they left, but it soon became apparent that they would be in there a while. She sighed. Coming to terms with her situation, Maine reached inside her purse for her perfume dispenser. When her hand brushed her phone, she took it out and glanced at it. The audience was supposed to silence their phones, so she hadn't heard the calls. But Mackie Mae had left a few more voicemails during the cooking show filming. Ugh, what did she want? She'd already called a few times since Maine's and Knopf's plane had touched down in L.A. Maine had been too busy to answer, and she didn't want to, given they weren't on the best of terms. In an even worse mood now, she returned her phone to her purse and retrieved her perfume dispenser. She spritzed it a few times into the toilet bowl. Then she cleared her voice and chanted, "Luck be true. Luck be mine." She repeated it twice more and waited for a few moments to see if there would be any visible magical effects. Maybe a flash of light, but there was nothing. Had it worked? She'd have to trust that it did. She flushed the toilet, quickly washed her hands in the sink, and left as the other two occupants giggled. The building housing the filming set for the Sarah Glass show was huge. There were multiple filming sets in here, and a bunch of security guards and film crew members rushing around. As Maine picked her way back to the kitchen set, she convinced herself that the luck spell hadn't worked. She was a fool to have trusted some direwolf good luck birthing ritual. Oh well. What counted was that she'd tried to help Sage. She grabbed a plate full of finger sandwiches and chips for her and Knopf from some tables outside the studio and headed back inside. When she made it back to her seat, there were still 10 minutes until intermission ended. Instead of the beautiful singer, a young man wearing cheap slacks and a Hawaiian shirt stood on the stage, with a mic clutched in one hand. Knopf yawned when she sat.
"Where you been?"
"Casting the luck spell, remember?" "What happened to the singer?" With a groan, Knopf said,
"Her throat cramped up, and she had to stop singing."
"That sucks."
"Yeah. Luckily, they had a backup entertainer booked, a comedian. Too bad he can't tell a joke to save his life."
Maine watched the man in the tropical shirt on stage. He clutched the mic like an addict.
"What do you call a hamburger that dates a hot dog?"
The crowd waited.
"A meat lover. Get it? 'Cause hot dogs are meat."
He scratched his chin conspiratorially.
"Or are they?"
All around Maine, audience members stared at each other. Many of them ignored the comedian and talked among themselves.
"Hey, wait, a pickle, a potato, and, tomato walk into a bar.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?